The Old Testament reading is from Exodus, the 19th chapter. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have received without paying, give without pay." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
text is the gospel lesson that Pastor Ale read, especially the list of the disciples. And let me begin with this prayer. Lord, we give you thanks that you called your disciples and you sent them into the world to preach the gospel. And that sending, calling and sending has continued from generation to generation and now has come down to us. We pray that you would bless us in our calling as disciples, and we pray that you would use us also in our lives to help bring others to this faith as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this is a two-part sermon, first part tonight, next part next weekend. And what I'm going to do is just go through the list of disciples and see what we can learn from their lives, from the things that God did for them and the things that they also in turn did in their service to God and for all of us. I don't know if you've ever stopped for a moment to think about your purpose in life. What is it? All of us have the purpose to live, to stay alive. We have a purpose, some of us, if God has called us to it, to raise a family and see that they stay alive. And then we have a purpose to help this world and to make it a little better place for people, other people, our neighbors, to live. Three great purposes of life that all of us have been given from our birth. But God also gives us two more really incredible things to live for. First of all, to believe in Jesus and to be his disciple. And secondly, as I prayed before, to help others also to believe in Jesus. You received those callings in your baptisms. And so let's look at this first group of disciples who were sent by the Lord into the world to bring the gospel to all nations. You know, they stood between God and the world, and that's exactly where we stand as well right now, today. We are the last and living generation of presenting the gospel to the world that in which we live. So let's begin. I'm going to begin with the bottom of the list first, beginning, of course, with Judas. Judas is always known as the betrayer. He is always in all the lists of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's listed last. He was the treasurer of the disciples. And that shows us something interesting about Jesus and his ministry. Jesus had a treasury. That means that they received offerings. And they used that money to keep themselves alive, but also to give to the poor. It shows us that Jesus, while sometimes he did miracles, he didn't always do miracles. Sometimes he used divine intervention, but a lot of times things got done just the way things get done today, by normal means, with money. Money in and of itself is not a bad thing, but our attitude toward it can be, and this was Judas's problem. He had a love for money, so great, in fact, that he was tempted to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's a stark contrast between the temptation that promised him such a fleeting pleasure of a little bit of money to the destruction and the devastation that soon followed. He gave Jesus a kiss of friendship in the Garden of Gethsemane when he betrayed him. And then, soon after that, found himself under the authority of Satan and the destructive power of Satan. So what do we learn from Judas? At least this, that no matter how close we are to the Lord, we are not invulnerable. Don't mess around with temptation, would be the warning that Judas gives us. Do not think that you can play around with these temptations, especially the temptation in this case to greed, and not be caught in it, and perhaps even with it drug away from the Lord. Instead, God calls us to fight this fight of temptation with repentance, with forgiveness, and with renewal, so that we could live our lives thankfully, faithfully, and generously. Let's go on to these next three. James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. Now these disciples, these apostles, are known as the three unknown disciples. We know nothing definite about them except for their names. that are in the Bible. What does that tell us about being a disciple? What lessons can we learn from the three unknown apostles? Well, we can learn this. First of all, every word of the Bible is important. Every single word of the Bible teaches us something. And the three unknown apostles teach us this, that it's okay not to be notable. Sometimes people crave notoriety. People crave recognition. I've known some pastors that want to be the next Peter or Martin Luther. And whenever I see someone who seeks that kind of notoriety, I often also see how they often fall hard. And the people who do become notable disciples are those who spent most of their life trying not to be noticed. These three unknown apostles remind us also of something very important, as Jesus would teach, the last shall be first. We don't need to be worried about whether we are noticed by the world or whether we are noticed by the church, but rather that we are always noticed by God. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Judas, the three unknown disciples, brings us to Matthew as we work our way backwards through that list. Matthew was a tax collector. Interesting thing about Matthew is in that the other two lists of the disciples, this title is not found. But only in Matthew's gospel does he call himself the tax collector. Tax collectors were hated because they were perceived as collaborators with Rome. And oftentimes they cheated people in order to get rich. We have no evidence that Matthew ever cheated anyone, but this was probably a lucrative job that Matthew left behind in order to become poor and to follow Jesus and to be one of his disciples. But what we learn about Matthew most of all is from the gospel that he wrote for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That gospel shows us his great love for the Jewish people, how he quoted from the Old Testament over 50 times. And he includes the largest blocks of Jesus' teaching, such as the Sermon on the Mount. This Matthew teaches us that whatever reputation you might have, some of you might have a past that is embarrassing. Some of you may have some associations that people look down upon. The heart of racism is that we become associated in some way with a group of people that are looked down upon. But God wants us to know that he looks at our hearts, and he gives us a clean heart, as he gave to Matthew and to all disciples. Paul had a problem with his past as well. And therefore, Paul said, all things have become new. Matthew is a disciple of Christ. No matter what anybody else thinks about him, what matters most is what God thinks about him and about each one of us. From Matthew, we move to Thomas. Thomas, of course, is known as the doubter. But also Thomas is the one who said, let us go with the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem that we may die with him. And he is the one who asked very humbly to Jesus, what is the way to heaven? And Jesus responded so beautifully in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Thomas is the honest doubter. An honest person listens to both sides of an argument. It's far worse to be indifferent or hostile to the Christian faith. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be an honest doubter, as we will all find ourselves at some time in our life struggling a little bit with the things that the Bible teaches us. But an honest doubter, like Thomas, will always listen to the Word of God. And because of that, the honest doubter will always become a believer, because the Bible tells us, John tells us at the end of his gospel, these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There's a famous poet, Tennyson, who wrote this about the honest doubters of this world. There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds. An honest doubter listens to the Word of God, and in the end, the Word of God prevails, as it did for Thomas. And that brings us to Bartholomew, our last one for tonight. We'll pick up the rest of them next week. Bartholomew is also the Nathanael of the Gospel of John. And Nathanael was the one about whom Jesus said, "An Israelite in whom there is no guile." He was the first of the disciples to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel. We don't know that much more about him. There is a tradition, and I'm going to talk about some of the traditions of the apostles in my adult Bible class tomorrow and next week as well. There's a tradition that Bartholomew, Nathanael, was flayed alive, and therefore Michelangelo, in his famous painting of the Last Judgment, portrays Bartholomew in heaven with his own skin hanging off from his arm. It's an ugly picture and an ugly thing for us to think about, but it is a fact that these disciples, many of them, came to gruesome and difficult deaths in martyrdom. Jesus, however, wants us to see that what prevails over all of that is truth, truth and love. Jesus wants to see that in us. You know, there's a lot of different qualities that we can have in life. We can be very intelligent. We can be very sociable. We can be hard workers. Not everyone has the assets to be those kinds of people. But every single one of us has the possibility of being a person in whom there is no guile, an honest and truthful person. That, Jesus assures us, is the person in this world who will prevail over all the evil and wickedness and falsehoods that try to tear us away from God. So in conclusion, what do we learn tonight from these apostles? Judas warns us about temptation. The three unknowns remind us it's okay to be the least. Matthew reminds us it's what is important is what God thinks of us and our reputation rather than what the world thinks. Thomas, the Word always prevails over our doubts. And Bartholomew, it is in the end the truth that will prevail over the lies of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Gracious Lord, we thank you for choosing us to be your disciples. And like those first disciples, you chose us not for our strengths, but for the strength of faith that you give. Bless us with this faith. Help us to fulfill those last two purposes of life, to live spiritually, to live by faith, and to share that faith with the world around us. As you send us forth, as you sent your first disciples, to speak the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.